Welcome to a very special episode of Bitches on Comics. Today we have an interview with the incredible Paige Allen. Hi, Paige.
Hi, guys.
And I'm Essie Fleenor.
I'm Sarah Sentry. So I have a question just to start out with that I am super interested in, which was, how did you get hooked up with WWAC? And also, I know that there's some controversy around this, but is it WWAC or is it WWAC?
Okay. My God, it was like 2 years ago. I think I like randomly pitched them like my reaction to the latest like season of Voltron or something.
Yeah.
Because I was like pissed and I'm like, I need an outlet for this. So I had like linked up with the publisher at the time. But like that didn't go through. But then they were like, hey, do you want to like review comics? And I'm like, okay, that's fine too. I have a lot of feelings about that as well. And that's basically how it started. But I think we refer to ourselves as WAC. I don't know. At least I do. I just like the sound effect of it.
Yes. And there's something like really fun about being like, hello, we're WAC.
Exactly. I work for WAC.
Yay. What pieces have you been working on lately that have been really fun to work on?
So I actually started this like little monthly column with them. It's like comics and kink, and it's about like the sexy history of comics, or just
yes.
like
Ooh.
Exactly like little like sexy tidbits that you might not like know about creators, or like a particular like book that was published and it's related to comics and like sex. I read this book by an Italian author / like journalist for The Guardian, and he just wrote like 300 pages like thinking about Reed Richards' like sex life and like just weird shit that he does with his penis.
Totally.
And
everybody
just fun stuff
that
like
at least
that.
Once.
I fucking hate Reed Richards. I don't want to think about his penis.
I hate Reed Richards, and yet I've still thought about that.
Made all the better by the fact that you are a lesbian.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, lesbians have special interest. We just want to know. We like to keep our eye on the competition and see what's going on.
True.
So this is almost equally important as WAC, but how did you get into Venom?
Oh, God. I was actually dreading this question because I have no idea. the thing is, I'm not actually, like, a super big fan of Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
And that's, like, the only way I would have, like, you know, had entry to Venom's, like, mythos in the comics. But
yeah.
it must have happened maybe around, like, when Spider-Man 3 came out or something. Mm-hmm. I'd seen the movie, and, like, I had no idea, like, what it was going to be about going into it, because I missed the first two, because I think I was like 14 when it came out. And it's like, I was sitting in the theater and I'm like, why is Eric Foreman from That 70s Show like covered in black slime? Like, what's going on here? And I think that's probably what inspired me to start looking into Venom. But it was just like years and years of like randomly reading a Spider-Man comic like every 6 months and just seeing him there and like slowly becoming interested in him.
Yeah, then, what were your views? Looking back, what do you think of the? I think his name is Topher Grace. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Looking back, where does Topher Grace like rate on your Venom?
Oh God, he sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Topher fucking Grace.
Yeah.
Oh God. Like, worst Venom ever.
Oh my God.
He's so small.
Exactly. I'm expecting a buff dude. Like, no offense, but like. Just not him. I mean, he had the asshole part down,
yeah.
I guess, but...
Oh my God, I thought you meant, like, his literal asshole. Like, what? What?
But also, no. He does not... He doesn't have the booty for it. It's just not working out.
He does not have the booty.
Yes, that's something that I remember very distinctly from your article. You actually really helped me see the beauty of that situation because I, of course, you know, as a lesbian, you miss some things. And then also, I think that there was just a really long period where I just, I don't know. I'm also the same. I would skip out on Spider-Man a lot. And then, so yeah, it was like, yeah, Venom, whatever, who cares? And I read some of his solo stuff in the 90s. And that stuff, I think, was like all pretty good for the most part. Whenever there was like Venom mania there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then I totally fell off. Like the next thing I saw of Venom was the movie, I think.
Right.
But yeah, your article was definitely like, so Eric Larson really introduced like thick Eddie Brock.
Well, glad you learned something. It was just like literally like 4K of a thirst post. And you know,
oh,
I'm really, really lucky to have been able to like have that opportunity to do it. And I'm glad people like it.
Oh, I scream laughed when you called him a butt his face. I was like, what the heck?
The captions of every image were just as funny as like what was in the column. It was just like, ah, this is what art is. This is beautiful. I love this so much.
That is required reading for all of the people listening have to go out and read that, definitely.
We will definitely tweet it out with this article or with this interview. We will tweet that out for sure.
Oh, thank you guys.
Of course. Oh my god, are you kidding? It was so good. I appreciate articles that are very like, listen, I think about this entirely too much, but also I really enjoy it. So let me just be really intense here, and I need you to be okay with that. And I was like, yes, Paige, I am okay with that. Please continue.
Yes.
Like,
thank you.
It was just at every venture, I was like, yes, and what else? Take me further. You know, it's amazing.
Aww. You know what also stood out was just the fact that I had not ever viewed some of those scenes the way that you present them. There's parts where the symbiote is hanging out with Eddie Brock in like, you know, intimate private moments. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, I was reading these comics and for some reason it just never really dawned on me that Eddie Brock was with a sentient creature and they were having tenderness between them. Like I always was just like, yep, he's talking to his weird costume again.
So there's like, an issue that starts with, this is a love story.
Totally. Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn. And then they're like holding hands. And then he's like, my darling, my love. I was like, damn, this is romantic.
Like, Eddie Brock treats the symbiote a lot better, actually, than Peter Parker treats Mary Jane. And I've just got to say that it's a better love story.
I agree. I totally agree. It's like weird how like recent that whole romantic aspect of it became in like the whole Venom like comic history. Because like at first it really was just like, oh, Eddie's just talking to this weird voice in his head. Whatever. It's just normal for him, I guess. He's a villain, right? That's just what they do. But like definitely around the time the Hunger comic came out, like you said, where it's like suddenly the writers were like, well, you know, let's try to start treating the symbiote as like its own character. And then it's like, well, now we have to cross this bridge of these like basically two characters just kind of living together in a house and like, which is Eddie's body. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, doing stuff together, negotiating the relationship. They've had a couple of kids, you know, maybe let's try and like figure out the relationship explicitly and just kind of show that this is like the most important relationship in Eddie's life and in the symbiote's life as well.
100%. And I was thinking too about how something that's so interesting about Peter Parker with the symbiote is that was basically just his excuse to be a jerk, kind of. Like
totally.
He becomes more of a jerk. But Eddie Brock becomes less of a jerk because of the symbiote. And it's just beautiful. In a way that I was really surprised by, I guess.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. The thing is with like Peter and the symbiote, it's like apparently Peter was actually like a really bad influence on like the entity. Like, you know, it already was like cast aside by its own like brethren for like some vague reason that comics like refuse to elaborate on.
Yes.
But
and during that time, Peter was kind of more of like incel-y too, right? Like,
totally.
He was kind of like, he was always mad about like these like beautiful women that did like nice things for him. And he was just like, oh, Felicia Hardy, why is she always so sexy in my face?
Like, yeah, so he was like very upset that this badass sexy woman was like, hey,
yeah,
fuck, come on.
And then
he's going through it.
He's going put Mary Jane through hell, you know, like Mary Jane's just like, okay, I guess I'll just like be here for you or whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah. He was a jerk. He was an asshole, actually. That's why I didn't read his comics.
Yes. Sorry. I believe that I segged one of your thoughts.
Oh, no, no, no worries. No, it was just like, where was I actually? Oh God, I'm so
well,
sorry.
I think this connects to what you all were what you were saying, but like this is what I like. I had to like stop reading the comics that you sent us and like take some notes because I was like processing so hard, both with Lethal Protector and The Hunger. And I was like, there's this way that the symbiote is like a symbol for queerness.
Yeah.
But in the way that like the albatross is a symbol, right? Like if you treat the symbiote terribly, the symbiote becomes like corrupt and like super carnal, right? Mm-hmm. But if you like treat the symbiote well, then it becomes like more benevolent and helps make better decisions when someone's angry or doesn't influence them towards their anger, maybe.
Totally.
So I was like, okay, so is that like when queerness is treated like a burden, it can become a source of like self-hatred. But when queerness is accepted and cultivated, it becomes like a source of strength.
Totally. I totally agree with that.
Oh, God. Okay, cool. Well, if the Venom lover approves of my idea, then I'm taking it. Yeah. These are the notes. Seriously, I wrote all these notes down. I was like, oh, my God.
That's
like,
awesome.
The symbiote is, like, so amazing. And then Eddie is, like, such a mess. But then when Eddie is amazing, oh, my God, the symbiote's even more amazing. Ah!
No, you're not wrong. Literally, every time, like, Eddie and the symbiote are, like, going great, the relationship's strong, like, the symbiote just looks at Eddie, and it's like that Kylie Jenner meme, and you're like, next thing you know, he's pregnant. Like, literally.
Oh, my God. It's so real. Yeah, I was thinking, I guess, like, just a lot about the differences between Peter Parker and Eddie Brock and how they're definitely these very different styles of character. And how, again, Eddie Brock is, like, another character that the further away from Peter Parker he gets, like, the better he is.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like he was really fixated on that. And then, like, the symbiote just kind of comes along and, like, helps him find love again, which is incredible. What did you think of the Flash Thompson version?
So, I know a lot of, like, Venom fans, like, love Flash. Like, that is their, like, Venom relationship. And I definitely don't mind it. I don't know, Flash, like, first of all, he goes through a really, really great, like, character arc for his entire time being, like, Agent Venom, like, you know, because he used to be, like, again, an asshole, in his early comic book history, but, right. You know, he goes through a lot of tragedy, he goes through a lot of trauma, and he, like, comes out of that on the other side, like, wanting to be a genuinely good person, and through Flash, like, the symbiote also starts to, like, want to change for the better as well, because, you know, he's using Flash as an example of, like, what you can do despite your past and despite your actions that hurt other people. So, I mean, on one hand, I love the Flash, like, little, like, symbiote relationship for that reason, but I started with, like, Eddie, so that's, like, my guy. But I appreciate Flash, and I'm sad that he's, you know, dead. You know, that sucks.
Brilliant. What if you were like, I'm not sad that he's dead? That'd be like a whole different, like, whoa. I really love Eddie.
I know, right? You know, Flash is fine, but fuck Flash.
It has to be Eddie, because Eddie is also has like him being older, I think, was really interesting in his first appearances, because he's kind of like a bitter old man. And of course, his comics de-age everybody. He just kind of keeps getting like more fine, I guess, as like time goes on. He's just like, what's up? It's me, a 27-year-old. And you're just like, what? I think you started out as like a 45-year-old, but okay.
You're not wrong at all. But I can't like say I don't like it, you know, because he just keeps getting hotter and hotter. But yeah, that's totally true. Get it.
He loves wearing the shorts too. Like when he shows up and he's got like his little like shorts on, you're just like, Eddie.
It's either shorts or like totally naked, balls out, just like butt jiggling in the wind. There's no in between. And I don't know why, but I appreciate it.
I love that you pointed out that, and I'm gonna forget the artist's name, but they rendered him always without underwear, and it was like just like a saucy run, because I was reading it and I was like, Peter Parker is so fucking horny this whole comic. Like, he's just like trying, like, he's naked and like Mary Jane walks in with a friend and he's like, hello, and it's like, what is happening? And but then I also really like, I was like, I'm glad you pointed out that Eddie doesn't ever wear underwear as Venom in that run, because it's always like at the bottom of the frame in the bottom like corner,
right?
And I'm like, ooh, that's a butt, nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, at least in the beginning, their, like, relationship was so, like, intense, where he was just like, I don't have a job anyway. I'm not going to wear clothes ever again. I'm pretty sure, like, the symbiote, like, I'm pretty sure the symbiote actually was able to mimic the appearance of clothes. So this dude was just, like, naked 24/7.
That's so right. Oh, my God. Like, I thought about that, but I didn't think about that. He's just walking free in the wind, you know?
Right, just on the New York subway, just like butt-ass naked. Hey.
Oh, my God. You know, talking about, like, the, like, sexually charged part of their relationship, there was a place, and I took a screenshot because I was like, this is the most direct thing I have ever seen in a comic, I think. It was just, oh. This is Eddie's thought. Since it all went bad, I've lain awake nights thinking about being wrapped inside the other again. And I was like, that is graphic. Like, but it's not, but it is.
Totally.
But it's not, but it is.
And I think, like, it's always been that way. I think, like, the very first appearance of, like, Eddie and the symbiote, it's like he's, you know, in that church in New York, he's, like, begging God for forgiveness. And then, like, the language gets, like, really intense really quickly, because it's like the symbiote comes and like caresses Eddie, and then it like drips inside of him. I'm like, oh wow, like, oh, all right.
Oh, that's direct.
What a whiplash in a scene, but thank you.
how do you think that Venom fits into the rest of the Spider-Man universe these days, because he's been solo now? So do you think that he should just stay solo, or do you think that there's a future of him interacting with Peter B. Parker again?
So in the comics, I definitely would like to see, I guess, like Venom and like Spider-Man interact a bit more, just because the entire basically like run of their history, it's like 30 plus years, it's usually always antagonistic, with very, like, brief glimpses of, okay, we have a common enemy. Let's work together and annoy the shit out of each other. But, you know, still, you know, also give a shit about, you know, the other not dying. And I feel like they just do not explore that at all enough, especially with, like, Venom now being, you know, technically an anti-hero, trying to be a hero. I think that would be really cool. Like, I want Venom on the Avengers or some shit. Just something awful. Like,
yeah,
but different.
Such a wild card guy, and can you imagine how weirded out every Avenger would be by Venom?
It would be delicious. Delicious.
Dripping goo, and they're just like, oh god, are you sure you didn't mean the X-Men you wanted to be on?
Right. Like, and I mean,
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to be with like the other teams. We're all like Captain America.
Next wave Agents of Hate.
Yeah.
That's like the team he belongs on.
Oh wow,
that's
you're
cool.
Right about that. Yeah.
I like that.
I wish they'd bring that back. That's like still one of my favorite comics ever.
Oh my god, gone too soon, definitely.
Definitely. So I have a question about pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a little bit of like a path, because I wanted to make sure I tracked them all right. So in your article, you call Venom they, mm-hmm. which fits because Venom calls themselves we.
Mm-hmm.
Brock uses he.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, folks refer to the symbiote with it.
Yes.
Okay, good that I've got that right.
No, you did.
And then I think I always read body sharing things as like gender queer, or at least like gender complicated,
mm-hmm.
like having two beings in the same body. And then there's the whole my other thing, which just feels like super queer. So mm-hmm. I don't know, like talk to me about pronouns, gender, queerness, and what you think we glean from like subtext versus text, and how that plays out in this little, not little, quite huge, you know, long-tongued beast.
Sure. So, I mean, in canon, it's, like, already been established that the symbiote, his like whole alien race, they are genderless.
Right, because they're asexual.
Exactly. Think of it like as the Asari from like Mass Effect. You know what I mean?
So I do not, but yes, I'm on board.
Wait. You don't know Mass Effect?
No.
It's like the greatest video game ever. It's so good.
Okay, well, I'll write it down, but I don't do the video games. Just because, like, I can't. I got the TV, the movies, the comics, the books. I am always behind. True. And if I bought a video game, I also am, like, a very obsessive person. So I feel like I wouldn't leave my home for a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God. Okay, so full disclosure, I did not, like, play the games. I watched, like, other people play on YouTube.
I'm into that.
Listen, it's basically a movie, and I'm still immersed in it. So
same. I dig. I like it's the that. Same thing.
Essentially. So yeah, no. the symbiote and its race, they're like totally genderless. And what seems to happen when they bond with another host is that they essentially they either just take on the pronouns that the host has. So like with Eddie and the Venom symbiote, like usually it's just like you would refer to it as a he. But sometimes there are instances where the symbiote either it gets like a different pronoun from their host, or they just like remain with like no pronoun. And this like happened like with actually two of Venom's like children. The first is Carnage, and that's the symbiote that bonded with Cletus Cassidy, who was like Woody Harrelson or whatever that like awful wig was in the Venom movie at the end. Whatever his last name is. Oh, God. Yep. What a nightmare. But, like, in the comics, that character refers to its symbiote, or his symbiote, as she. She's Red, and that's technically Venom's, like, daughter. But recently in the comics, under, I think, like, the Mike Costa run, Venom and Eddie had another kid, and the name of the kid is Sleeper, and that character is just it all the way, because its host is... I mean, technically, it's, like, riding around in the body of Venom's, like, first host. So it's just, like, you know, a skeleton. And skeletons, I guess, are genderless. So Sleeper remains an it as well.
Fascinating. I love that.
Yeah.
What's your other favorite symbiote other than Venom? Mm.
I like Sleeper a lot. Totally new addition. But he looks like a giant avocado. And I just think it's adorable.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, sure, under there is, like, a skull. Oh, my God, so cute. Like, so cute.
Yeah, I think that the first Spider-Man story I read was probably, like, Planet of the Symbiotes that I actually, like, followed. So I remember having kind of a soft spot for Shriek.
she was really good. Yeah. I think she was referred to as a she as well, because her host was, like, a woman, right?
I believe so, yeah. So I think that that all holds up really well, because I do think that they do take on those certain characteristics or certain like parts of the people that they're so tied to.
Right. And I feel like the like intensity of the symbiotic bond that they form, it definitely like reads queer to me, and you know, not just because I'm like a shipper or anything. but it's just like it's totally just subversive of like any traditional relationship that you can even think about like on Earth. It's like immediately intimate, and it's just like instantaneous, and you have this being who like, you know, could essentially take over the world, but they're bonded with you and they see all of your insecurities and all of your faults, and they don't care and they love you regardless. It just feels so unique. It's just really cool.
It's after Peter Parker ditched both of you, because Peter Parker is literally like the fuckboy of the Marvel Universe. Like, totally. That guy is like dating every person. It's every time Peter Parker walks into a room, everybody's like, oh God, it's this guy. Don't even look at him. It's my ex. Like, but it's like every person in the room is like, that's my ex. Like, don't. It's like literally dated Carol Danvers. Like, I know that he didn't date the symbiote or Eddie Brock, but they, I mean, still they have tender feelings.
Yeah, they have like intense feelings about him. It's like shared trauma for them, basically. It's like how they bond for like 30 years.
What's a character that you wish had a symbiote, like for at least one arc?
Does it have to be in the Marvel Universe, or can I
not
like expand?
Necessarily.
You could pick literally anything. You could be like, yes. Me. Okay,
great. I would like to see you with a symbiote. Like, let's go. What's your plot?
Me too. Me too. Just Pitch eating me. A lot of brains. Just a lot of brains, I think. I got a lot of rage that the symbiote would tap into. I just think it'd be a problem.
Oh man, I think Batman, because like I'm a loser when it comes to that entire character and shit. Yes. I love it.
I was gonna say maybe I would actually like to see Mary Jane symbiote.
Ooh, yes. That would be cool.
Just let her do some stuff. And then also, like, every time Peter Parker's been kind of a jerk, it comes back up because now she's with like the symbiote and she's just like, oh, we both have Peter Parker feelings.
Wait, oh my god, wait, actually she did have a symbiote at one point, but
is
this
that
was
right?
Yeah, so I can't remember the comic. All I know is that like Ryan Stedman or whatever, he drew it, and this is when like Peter and Mary were like Mary Jane were married and they had a kid. I think it was like one of the not Ultimate Universe, something.
She became the Carnage Queen in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Carnage Queen. That sounds so great. Oh,
as
my God.
You do.
That sounds hot.
I guess like, I always did super, super avoid Ultimate everything, but except for Miles Morales era, I guess. But like, but now I'm kind of just like, now I'm going to have to look up the Carnage Queen. Like,
that's awesome. Wait, no, actually, I want to change my answer. I would love for Miles to actually, like, legitimately have to deal with Venom as his own, like, villain.
Whoa, we would learn so much about him.
Yeah, and, like, I like stories where, like, Venom as a character, like, represents, like, something more, like, something, like, societal. And, I mean, with Miles, it just feels like it would kind of be like that relationship, like, did you guys ever see It Follows, that movie?
Yes.
Horror movie? Like, it would be something like that, where it's like, you know, let's say Venom represents, like, I don't know, like, police brutality. Like, let's just say he's just totally symbolic in this story. But, you know, he would have, like, Miles, like, a 12 or 13-year-old black kid trying to do the right thing, but he's being stalked by, like, this relentless, like, overwhelming force that he can't, like, outsmart or, like, physically defeat, and, like, no one's, like, believes that it's a thing that's actually affecting him, and I think it would be so compelling.
That's kind of how it goes with Gwenom, right?
Where
she's like in trouble with the police for being Spider-Woman, mm-hmm. and then she meets Venom when she's particularly angry and depressed. And so I think Venom ends up representing this like sort of unbridled carnality, but also physicality that she's like held back in the past.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I forgot about how good Gwenom was.
Oh my god, she's so cool.
Dude, I never read Gwenom. Oh, God, I feel like a bad fan.
You're not a bad fan, but you're so lucky you get to read it for the first time. That's so exciting.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. It's
I think
like
you'll
really
have
fun.
A good time.
I'm very excited. Yeah. It's on my like-to-read list.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think, yeah, Gwenom is like, that's another one I have like 400 photos of in my phone. What am I going to do with these? I don't know. Look at them sometimes because they make me very happy. So what's going on with Venom now?
Well, it's being written by like Donnie Cat, so it's like its own solo. Eddie has cancer again and he has a son now.
Jesus.
And also the symbiote was like lobotomized and now it's just following him around like a dog, a mindless dog at that, and I just fucking hate it so fucking much. God.
It sounds terrible.
It's so derivative and just gloomy and just, oh, it's like not going anywhere and I hate it. I'm sorry. Like,
Don't be sorry.
Also, I was reading, I believe that there was just one of the symbiote series that was happening recently, and I think it was written by the same writer, and I was just like, come on. And then I also remember we talked about Silver Surfer Black and we really liked that series, but I'm starting to understand that I only like it on certain series because I'm like, oh, that was one where he just gets to be like super emo and like float through space and have sad feelings and stuff like that. And then I'm like, oh, I understand why I don't love this style as much whenever it's on the symbiotes, because like I kind of want, I guess, like a little bit more nuance to it, I guess, in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. Not to trash the run too badly, but yeah, I haven't enjoyed it so far. I've kind of hopped in and out of it and been like, I was hoping to have at least like maybe a thematic return to like some of the 90s stuff, but also kind of a modern look
totally.
At it. And I feel like it just kind of ended up being like Carnage Light or something in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just getting there was just really, really not fun. It just hasn't been fun. And like,
yeah.
Venom is actually a surprisingly funny character. You know,
it really is funny.
Right?
So funny.
As horrific as he is. And it's like, why would you not, like you said, like tap into the nuance of that? Like,
right. Especially now when there's only incentives to do so. There's only great reasons to be doing that.
Right. I mean, Jesus Christ, the movie was amazing. Use that as inspiration.
Let's talk about the movie.
Oh, God. Yes. Love it. I loved it. It was great.
What were your favorite parts?
Top of the list was definitely when Tom Hardy as like Eddie made out with Venom / like Annie at the same time.
Yes,
just cause.
Yes.
Just like, you know, as like a bisexual person, I'm just like, wow, you're just hitting all of my pinpoints here. Like, dune.
I second that.
But I mean, look, I like really actually genuinely enjoyed all of the movie. I liked the villain that they had. Who was that guy? It was like, wasn't he Carlton or something? Something like fuckboyish like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, it was definitely a different take on the Eddie Venom relationship, considering it was just like immediately antagonistic. And then it's like they grew to care about each other, but I loved it. It was wonderful.
I thought it was so underrated. Like,
totally.
I loved it. I also loved it. Like, let's take one of the sexiest people alive and make him look like utter shit the entire movie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Somehow that will still be sexy. And it's like, what is even happening? I feel like that whole film is like, why am I attracted to everything? Like, what is happening?
Right, he's eating trash out of like literally the garbage. And then he's, you know, vomiting in his like bathroom. So hot. Like, it's very
great.
Strange.
I'm into it, yeah.
I loved the special effects. I thought that a lot of times whenever I watch superhero movies, like, there's characters, like, for instance, the Hulk. I always think the Hulk looks bad because I'm just like, it just doesn't look real to me ever.
Because the Hulk always looks bad.
It always looks bad. There's they've never done it super correctly, I guess, for me. Or, I
mean,
I
except
don't
know. For Lou Ferrigno. You know what?
Yeah.
Okay, we gotta give that's pretty special effects. You gotta give it up for Lou Ferrigno back then.
Fair enough. Wait, do we not like Endgame? Hulk, you know?
I think that but I always think that they do a really good job. I think Mark Ruffalo obviously is a great actor and he was really
Agreed.
Into the role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of that, that part like looks good. It looks really natural. They're great at mimicking his movements, but I don't know. It just never like melds with the rest of everything well enough for me to be like, that's great. That looks great. You know,
mm-hmm.
like the movements are on point, of course, and the acting is on point, but there's just always something that kind of throws me off about Hulk in a movie because he always kind of looks like a cartoon character on like a realistic backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Which like, so, I can
what's
see.
What's a super CG character that you like that you think is executed well?
Venom.
Duh, of course. The topic at hand. What? Venom? I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I thought that Venom looked great and that they could have just gone so badly with it. You know, it was like one of those characters where I was like, I'm glad that these people probably at least like were looking through comics and maybe reading a bunch of them. And I mean, I think everybody who gets into like acting or creating superhero movies now, they like do read them. I remember that used to be a big question where people would be like, did you ever like read the book that this is based on? And people would be like, no. The director forbade it. and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. The way that everything looked just to me is exactly what I would picture a Venom movie looking like.
I agree. I mean, he could have gotten a bit more naked, but like otherwise, totally. The movements were amazing. I definitely agree. Like the inkiness of it and the like just kind of slimy, but like still really like Play-Doh-y. I loved it.
Yes. And that tongue is going all over
that
the place.
That tongue destroyed Tumblr. Destroyed that site for like at least an hour.
Absolutely. I mean, it had its influence on Twitter as well.
I feel like that was all I knew about
Instagram.
The movie until
yes.
I saw it. It's like, it's going to be sexual and there's a big tongue. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm in.
And also, even if it was completely not sexual in any way, just the look of Venom would
totally
be very sexual. Totally. I think people would have been like, yeah, even if like the script has no sexuality to it, then this guy still has like a 6-inch long tongue. So I don't know
it's
what
really
to say.
It's really on you, Venom. That's really on you. yeah, I like the goopy, like you were saying, goopy Play-Doh version versus like in the comics, the like more Paper Man version. It's like, what is happening with this paper being? But I like the goopy version because I think that's also kind of sexy, right? Like, because sex is gross and like goopy. Yeah, so
that's how I think about it. That was a nice tie. You're just like Venom's goopy. Sex is goopy.
This is always what I'm thinking. I'm always like, this is pretty sexual because there's a lot of goop going on. Everyone's like, that is actual goo. What are you talking about? Like, it seems pretty sexy.
To take it, I guess, sadly away from Venom for just a second, I was going to ask what the first, because we ask this question a lot, what was one of the first comics that you remember really standing out to you?
So the thing is, I was like really into like manga, like until college. So I would like, I think I started like reading like the Avengers comics, like just in, you know, to coincide with the movie coming out.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it was just that. And I became like a Steve Tony shipper, like almost instantaneously. So there was that one comic, I can't remember anything about it. They were like medieval knights for some reason.
Yes. Oh my God.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that one was definitely the first one. We're like, hey, I want to see where this is going.
It's the Kurt Busiek one, or is it the one where they encounter like old timey Doctor Doom? Because actually, I think that one might have just been only Tony Stark.
Oh, good stuff.
It was definitely the one where like Cap was like involved, and he like saved Tony, and he was like in like medieval versions of their costumes. I have no idea.
I think I know what you're talking about because I think George Perez does the art to that one. And so every page is just like 100 Avengers like, on the page. He's like, I'm great at group shots.
Oh,
like,
God. Yeah.
And he really is. He really is.
Give credit where credit is due.
Yes.
You got it.
Absolutely. Because, every scene has like Carol Danvers just standing in the background doing nothing. There's like a bunch of like Avengers.
That's
from like the
my
last
favorite
like,
Carol
years.
Danvers thing.
Oh, totally! I
not
do
doing
love
shit.
That.
She also does it like an A force when like she's actually part of things.
Yeah,
like, she's like standing in the background, be like, ah, you know what? I'm the captain of space. I'm busy. Like,
oh, God.
You guys got this.
She shows up like, are you guys arguing again? And then just kind of like looks off into the distance, like thinking about important space things, while like Medusa and She-Hulk argue with each other.
It's so funny.
It is funny.
Who are your favorite bitches from comics?
I'd say Bruce Wayne and
Yes.
Count it.
That's it, that's all. I guess I'm gonna close.
Oh my God.
So good. Mic drop. Boom.
Yeah, I'm done. You know.
No further clarification, Bruce Wayne.
And I refuse to elaborate.
We don't need you to, because we know. We know.
I love it so much. Oh, my God.
I don't know if you guys, like, watch Titans at all, that, like, DC, like, TV show, but, like, that Bruce
Only
Wayne is
a little
is,
bit
like,
so far.
Oh, my God. Did you see the episode where it's, like, it's fake Bruce Wayne just being like a total bitch to like Dick and then like dancing with cabaret girls. That is the Batman I know and love.
I love
the Batman where like in the 70s he's just like totally dismissive towards Dick, and then it takes still like 10 years for Dick to be like, listen, I'm leaving. He's like zooming around on his like little like Robin motorcycle being like, Batman always wants to control everything. He can't control me. I'm in college now. Like, I'm going to wear this like varsity jacket if I want, Bruce. Like,
It's so good. And what I love about Titans is, like, it opens with, like, you know, it's trying to be, like, in that pilot. It's like, look how cool this guy is. fuck Batman. You know, he says that. And then he just spends the rest of his time obsessed with Batman.
Totally.
Like, yes. Just like, all I think about is Batman. Like,
Do you think Batman's watching us right now? yes.
God, I love Dick Grayson.
I love him so much. I just got a tattoo of him. That's how much I love this loser.
What? I love that. Do you have a Venom tattoo?
You know, I don't know where I would put an extra tongue on my body.
Just on your face, right over your face.
I have definitely thought about it, but I have to, like, you know, I guess keep, like, a corporate job.
So. You could have, like, a zipper, like, where, like, kind of, like, he comes up your side. I don't know.
That'd be kind of cool.
I'm not in charge of tattoos for a reason.
Yes, that is a really good idea.
What does a zipper have to do with that? I'm like, I don't know.
Just make it work.
Can you just make it fashion? Go. Venom, but make it fashion. That is something I would wear, to be honest.
Oh my.
I'd be into that.
Paige, where can people find you on the internet?
So I'm most active on Twitter, and my handle is GoodbyeDuppy, which is Goodbye_DUPPY.
Yes.
And
I love that.
Thank you.
I don't know what it is, but I love it.
It's a Jamaican thing. So a duppy is like a evil ghost in Jamaica. So it's like saying goodbye to, you know, evil what? Ghost. I like thought of the name when I was like 10. You can find it on all my social media. So
hell yeah.
I love it. And also you write regularly for WAC.
Mm-hmm.
And you already told us about that Kinks column, but is that going to be a weekly or a monthly thing?
It's monthly.
Excellent. I look forward to this. I get all of the WAC stuff in my Gmail because I subscribe on Patreon. So I'm always just like, there's all kinds of stuff that I miss on Twitter. So I really appreciate that newsletter. I guess this is definitely a pitch for the Patreon of WAC, which everybody should sign up for.
Totally. If you want more awesome, like, you know, reviews and bitching and sexy stuff like my comic, like column. Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. How could you not want that?
You guys are awesome. Yeah, really
you're awesome. Written by T. Franklin. Art by Jen St. Ange. Colors by Joy San. Letters by Cardinal Ray.
What a great comic.
Oh my God.
It's so beautiful. It's a love story, a very beautiful love story that unfortunately you don't really see very often in comics. But it was so nice. It kind of comes out of nowhere to me. I think that this is one of those stories. I believe it came out in 2018, whenever it was officially published. So it was on so many best of lists. It was on every best of list, pretty much.
And it belonged on it.
Yeah, it's kind of a masterpiece. The animation style is brilliant.
Every part
of it just matches all of the other parts of it.
The colors are incredible.
Yeah.
You get to see so many people who are not white and so many black people of so many different shades. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And it's treated like, hey, people have different skin tones. What? Of course.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And it's such a composite part of how the coloring works in general across the piece. The characters age over the course of the graphic novel, 50 years, I believe.
Yeah.
And you really get to see like how bodies change as you age, how hair changes, how wrinkles appear. And we never get to see people age in comics, you know?
Especially
so,
not queer people.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So this story is about two girls and they kiss after school, I believe, one day.
Yeah, like in 1963.
Right. And all of the things tear them apart.
Yep. And they kiss in front of church.
Yes.
They met the first time at the bingo hall and they were like friends. And you're sort of hearing the story from one character's perspective. And she knows that she's queer at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, oh, is it all in my head? Is this a straight girl? And then like they smooch and then they're like, no, I didn't think you were. And I was worried that you weren't. And I was worried that you were. And it's just like, oh my God, I could just die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they get torn apart, obviously, by all of the terribleness of life and times.
Absolutely.
But this story is about them finding each other, right? So they end up going through this long period where, you know, one day they finally are able to reconnect.
Like 50 years later.
Yeah.
And in a bingo hall, they run into each other and they're just like, their eyes lock and they just can't not kiss.
Yeah.
And they kiss and it's so sweet.
Yeah. So this is basically the plot, not to spoil it, but it's also kind of the synopsis of the story. Yeah. This is a very touching queer love story.
Yes.
About people who age and, you know, have a community around them, people that like are interacting with the world in a different way, right? So in many different ways.
And it's a representation of Black queer elders that we don't get.
Ever.
And what's amazing is when the character's point of view we're looking through, Elle, when she comes out to her husband, she's like, I'm pansexual. She knows exactly who she is.
Right.
And she knows that Mari was the love of her life. And it's just so sweet. And there's like a ton more story that comes after that.
Yeah.
Because it's like now they get to like, what does it mean to do this? Yeah. How do we do this? We found each other again. But like, am I willing to leave my marriage? Are you willing to leave yours? Like, what would that happen? And it's such a it's so beautifully told. It's so positive. It is. I thought the art was just charming, absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
Just, I wanted 4 billion more volumes, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's honestly, it's one of those comics where, you know, you're almost just at a loss because it's just so good. So it's one of the essentials of its year, definitely. It's one of the best comics of the decade for sure. I don't know. The thing that's so special about it is that it is like a romance comic, essentially. So we barely see those anymore. And I don't think that the genre got to explore itself as much as it should have. So the idea of having an extended and having new stories that are romance comics, and it's not just, you know, what will I do? Dirk didn't ask me on a date, you know, all of that kind of stuff. This deals with actual problems that, you know, in real life you would encounter.
Yeah.
So to me, it's really interesting. And I just think it was great. Every page makes perfect sense in sequence to each other.
Absolutely. And it's ambitious, right? To cover that period of time and not long graphic novel.
Yeah, it's pretty short. Like it's a thin piece.
Yeah. And they do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting. I know that it was also Kickstarter funded.
Right.
And there are some digital comics that if you were a Kickstarter supporter, you could get.
That's right.
And there was a version of this that came with those printed as well.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read that version. I'm like, oh my gosh, something happened with this character that I haven't read. I can't wait to find it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to have that extra too.
Yeah. A little woohoo. So yeah, I think that it's just delightful, it's tender, it's genuine without being saccharine. It's just totally exactly like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I love going through the long process of coming out that they go through.
Yeah, it's really, really something special. We are a podcast that is all about making comic books more accessible to LGBTQ folks and women. So if you have a question about anything related to comics, comic adaptations, pop culture in general, conventions, cosplay, you name it, that's what we're here for. You can send us your questions at bitchesoncomics@gmail.com. Unfortunately, Gmail does not like the word bitch. They're pretty judgy about it. So we can't have it spelled out. It is bitchesoncomics@gmail.com. And do you remember, there's no I'm bitch.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Sarah Century, and you can find me at www.sarahcentury.com and Twitter and Instagram. Still Sarah Century on those.
I'm Essie Fleenor. You can learn more about me at essiefleenor.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @SE_Fleenor.
Bitches on Comics is recorded by Kate Warner, who plays in the band Churchfire. You can find them at churchfiremusic.com. Music provided by Earth Control Pill, which you can find at earthcontrolpill.bandcamp.com.
Bitches on Comics is recorded in Denver, Colorado. We want to recognize the indigenous peoples who have inhabited and do inhabit this land. The Arapaho Nation, the Ute Nation, the Cheyenne Nation, and others who have been erased from our history and collective memories through colonization.